lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Recently, I've been talking about the Lukewarm Local Social Club, or the Lukewarm Local Church, and we've seen that so many churches today have become social clubs. And we talked about some of these things, about the word apathy, and I believe the Christian definition of apathy would be spiritual emptiness, the inability to discern or really care about who or what is right or wrong in spiritual matters. In other words, not able to respond spiritually because of spiritual immaturity. And I also mentioned the fact that churches become apathetic because of leadership. And then we understand that we have been chosen by God to be different. And we sometimes get it in our minds that we have to be loved by everyone. And sometimes Christians are led to believe that the only way to reach young people is to be like them. Well, that's not true. We reach young people the same way we reach elderly people or any people, and that is by and through the Word of God. Well, today, let's look at something, and we'll look back on something here about being changed. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God." Well, in his epistle to the Corinthian believers, Paul reminds the Corinthians they were once unsaved. And we just read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the first part of verse 11. It says, "And such were some of you." Well, Paul also told the Corinthian believers the result of being unsaved. And that means the unsaved or the unrighteous. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, and the first part of that verse says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" That's those people who have never trusted Jesus as Savior. Well, Paul continues by telling the Corinthians that now, because of being saved, and that's washed, and that means sin is gone, that they were now sanctified. In other words, set apart for God, different than they once were. They are now justified, in other words, made right in the sight of God, because of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11 once again says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Paul was trying to tell the Corinthian believers first, I don't think you're better than the unsaved Corinthians. You're just better off because you have been saved and you're on your way to heaven. I believe that could be what Paul was saying here. And then secondly, I believe he might have said, in what he was saying in those verses, you were once an unsaved Corinthian, but now you are different. You are now sanctified, set apart by Jesus through the Holy Spirit. You have been changed. I believe when a Christian gets serious with God and really lets Christ work in his or her life, then that person can be a real Christian, Christ-like. That person can say with Paul, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Well, some people are misinformed when it comes to being Christ-like. It is not really a matter of trying to be Christ-like. It is a matter of letting Christ transform us into the person he wants us to be. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, after salvation, we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, we gain the knowledge to be more Christ-like by listening to what He says. And this means listening to what He says we are to do, according to the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We are to be prepared by getting into the Word of God. Well, how does an apathetic church happen? I believe there's one word that we can look at, and that word is compromise. Compromise means straddling the fence. In other words, not standing for anyone or anything, being in the middle. Well, this means that the church is under the leadership of a fence-straddling preacher who does not want to hurt anyone's feelings. This is when the gospel is watered down to accommodate people. And this is when standards are relaxed to accommodate people. This is when the world's methods are used to proliferate the number of people in a church. By the way, the word proliferate is first to increase greatly in number, and secondly, to reproduce rapidly, to multiply cells in the process of reproducing new cells, offspring or parts, as in the building of plants, or be multiplied in this way. Well, I personally do not like being referred to as a cell. And this is what many so-called local churches are calling individuals today, cells. Well, the reason why men do not look to the church today is that she has destroyed her own influence by compromise. This is what G. Campbell Morgan once said. Well, certain church organizations are willing to grow their numbers by any means. Some of these organizations use the term units to describe people who are members. Well, I don't know about you, but as for me, I find it offensive when someone refers to me as a unit or to a family as a unit. God does not view a person as a unit or a cell. God views each of us as a living soul. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, the first part of that verse says, and so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. Yes, a church that would compromise biblical standards for the sake of numbers, so-called units, is absolutely, positively wrong. God absolutely, positively says the right way to fill His local church is with people who are saved. Unsaved people should never be asked or permitted to join God's local church. People get saved by hearing the Word and become members of the local church His way. A local church that simply wants a gathering place for entertainment, fellowship, singing, and yes, money, to me is not what the Lord said He would build. Matthew 16:18 says, once again, and I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We sometimes miss some very important aspects of what the Lord said in Matthew 16:18. The Lord said He would build His church, not man's church. As humans, thinking like humans, we have taken it upon ourselves to build Christ's church. God certainly uses people to witness to people, but He never said, you would build His church. He never said you would save people. It is by and through the shed blood of Jesus that anyone is saved, added to His church. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says this, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Well, unfortunately, people do not have to be born again to join a local church. They may make a profession of faith, but that doesn't mean they have been born again. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Many people in local churches today have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that's sad because they're on their way to hell. And it's because of a compromising person standing in so-called pulpit of the local church that is not telling them the truth as to how to go to heaven. I believe also that there are no watchmen to guard the walls today. No watchmen have been set toward the walls of the church as God told Israel to do. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 12 says, "Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon." Now, Babylon represents the ungodliness of the fallen world. Ungodliness can creep into the local church when God's people let down God's standard of holy living. Well, let me quickly add, I'm not talking about holy living to be saved, but holy living because a person is saved. As I've stated, people can join a local church without being born again. When tares come in, it becomes harder and harder for that local church to make sound spiritual decisions. Matthew chapter 13, verse 25 says, "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." It's time God's people became watchmen. No emphasis on soul winning is seen in our local churches today, just gathering people into the church. I say once again, it's time for God's people to become watchmen and keep their eyes open and start doing things God's way instead of man's way. And I see there is no emphasis today on soul winning, bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. The church that has a form of godliness but denies the power of God is a church that becomes cooler and cooler. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." A strong local church is one with a strong soul-winning emphasis and strong follow-up emphasis. The strong local church wins them, disciples them, and is prepared for growth. But when tares come in for fun and games, the result is a local church that grows cooler and cooler spiritually. And also the people who are attracted to a local church by fun and games will almost always leave it. And when the fun and games stop, they're gone. Let me say that if you do know Christ as your Savior today, you need to keep your eyes open. You need to listen to the Lord. And you need to follow Him in His Word. Do what God says, not what man says, but what God says that you and I, as Christians, are to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for loving us so much. Thank you for giving Jesus to us as our Savior. Thank you that He came and gave His life that we could have eternal life. And thank you that He's not dead, but He's alive forevermore. And because He's alive, we live. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.